This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey everyone, this is a new voice, just in case you didn't know. So Leroy Segev is out. My name is Dave Greenway. I'm here with Alessandro Barbosa.
What's up?
Normally you'd be used to hearing us on a Tuesday or a Friday with Aria Kelman on the Drive Show, but you know, seeing as though the regular guests are away and it's December and we're around, we decided we're going to take over the place.
Yeah, because, we're the Psycho Zoo are still here during the holidays. So.
That's one way of looking at it. Another way is, you know, opportunistic.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Yeah,
there we go. Let's try that one instead. Okay, so we decided, you know, late last night that we've got some interesting stuff to talk about, specifically in the streaming space in South Africa. So. A lot of new developments have come out in the last couple of weeks, in the last couple of months, and over the year as a whole, in terms of streaming pretty much every kind of media. And, you know, we're big on that in Cliff Central, you know, being able to stream whatever you want, when you want. So we figured it would be an apt show to do, just to be able to tell you guys everything cool that's happening. I think the big elephant in the room that basically got dropped last week was the fact that Netflix is coming to South Africa. And we've known about it for quite some time. I mean, they have announced that we were part of their plans for late 2015, early 2016. But recently in the news, it dropped that it has industry sources have confirmed, you know, that standard one, that it will be here in early 2016. So I don't generally like the industry sources thing, because that doesn't say exactly who it is. And it could be, you know, your aunt's grandmother's father's thing. I spoke to two of my mates who are actually in the industry. One of them was involved in Netflix bringing their hardware into the country.
Oh, nice.
And another one heard from the guys at the hosting station where they've set up all of their equipment, that they're three racks down from where Netflix is. So they've seen the hardware. They've processed the documentation required to get it into the country. So I'm pretty close to certain that Netflix is in South Africa at the moment setting stuff up. Like, this, you don't go and spend money on bringing equipment into the country if you're not planning on recouping it. So, looks like we're going to get some Netflix in the early half of 2016. Probably January, maybe February, depending on all of the setup stuff that's going on there. But that's a definite on Netflix. And I mean, that's the big one.
Yeah, that's huge. And that's interesting that you said there's hardware there, because that's the one thing I was thinking about when they announced Netflix for you. Were they just going to make it possible for us to connect to servers overseas or something like that? Or were, you know, is there going to be actual physical servers here with all the content on here, you know, so that streaming is much, much faster. Your requirements is much lower as well. So that's actually pretty cool to hear. And Netflix is huge. Like, when you think of video streaming, movie streaming, series streaming, that's the name that comes up, because everyone kind of knows it. Yeah, there are thousands of people locally already using Netflix. I use Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing that people have used already. So to have it locally available is going to be cool. If the price is cool, that's going to be cool. But the big thing is the content.
Yeah. So that's the one big thing that they haven't spoken about. So guys in the UK and the US who both have Netflix will have different libraries. They're not exactly the same. And while we are getting to an age where you can pretty much stream anything off the internet, there is still geo-restricted content, which is silly. There's absolutely no reason why, if you're able to get something in the US, that I shouldn't be able to watch it in South Africa if we're paying for the same service. I mean, that, you know, it's all ones and zeros. It's not like they change when they cross border or anything. And in fact, they've probably crossed border three or four times before they even get to me. And like, the truth of the matter is, like, as you say, a lot of people in South Africa have been using Netflix, because there's no reason whatsoever to have not been using it. It's a fantastic service. Yeah. They've done a lot of epic work behind the scenes on their dynamic resolution swapping, so that, you know, the second your bandwidth, like it does in South Africa,
the video plays magic, let's just say that gets
constrained. All of a sudden, you know, it bumps down the resolution for a couple of seconds, buffers up. You don't get that, you know, the YouTube buffer where all of a sudden it's like your video just stops dead and then it's got to start again.
Or turns into like a pixel soup. Like,
Netflix not like that.
No, not at all.
Netflix very good at the back end stuff. In fact, we're going to chat a little bit about that, because they've done some magic, some more magic to the back end.
Even of more, not that they needed it.
No, but here's the thing. So Netflix being in the country, the reason we mentioned that it's good that they have hardware is because, as gamers, we're, you know, screwed by latency, because we have to talk to servers in Ireland for like Xbox Live, and in I think it's the UK for PSN.
Yeah, the UK is a lot of it.
So like, the biggest problem for us is that, you know, it doesn't matter for the average person when you're visiting a website. I mean, an extra 6 milliseconds of latency or whatever when you're visiting a website. So latency, for those who've never heard of the term, is how long it takes for you to send and receive the packet basically back from wherever you're looking to.
Wherever it's hosted, yeah.
So like an extra 6 milliseconds of latency when you're looking at a website, who cares?
Yeah.
When you're trying to shoot someone in the head before they shoot you. Exactly. Massive problem. So latency, big thing. And another big problem is if you look at something like video streaming, so every single time it goes and fetches the next section of the show, that latency therefore affects it. So you've got something that, like, if you look at a show that's an hour long, something like while we're in the Netflix universe, let's look at like Daredevil or Jessica Jones,
yeah,
like those awesome Marvel shows that we're soon going to be getting without, you know, the need for tricking the world into thinking
that will be there for sure.
That'll be there for sure. That's 100%. That's Netflix original creative content.
That's always on there.
Yeah, they set the rules, so we're definitely getting that. I think the big thing is that so basically with that's an hour long show, you can get it in full 1080p. Now you've got to understand that that's like a gigabyte of data nearly that it's going backwards and forwards fetching. And if that starts slowing down because it's going to Ireland and there's suddenly like a blockage on one of the fiber optic cables going up and down and it has to crank down your resolution and then it still can't get the data and then it buffers, it kills the experience.
Yeah,
the whole point of streaming is that you push a button and stuff happens.
Yeah.
You don't ever stop doing whatever, whether it's gaming or music or movies or TV, whatever you're doing, you push a button and it happens. And that's the rad thing about streaming. So as we were saying, Netflix does some really awesome, weird, back-endy stuff that no other streaming providers really do. And what they've been doing in the past was that they'd have different versions of the show lined up on their servers. And then as your bandwidth started sucking more and more, it just switched out for a lower resolution version so that it took up less bandwidth. But what they realized is that not all shows are exactly the same. So you've got something like a cartoon, like the article I read actually mentions My Little Pony by name, versus something like Jessica Jones or Daredevil, where there are these massive action scenes, or the Avengers movie where, you know, stuff's exploding absolutely everywhere. My Little Pony, the sky is like blue and it's always blue. It's that same blue and then the characters move in front. So you can encode that at a bitrate that's much lower, which saves everyone data, which, let's be honest, in this country is going to be massive. We're looking at a place, we're strange compared to the rest of the world. We have very small cell phone data caps compared to like first world countries where Netflix already is. Let's compare like sort of us with a UK or the US or stuff like that. Guys in the US have like two to three to four gig packages on their phone, sort of as a standard.
Even unlimited in most cases,
And the unlimited packages are blatantly expensive overseas because they know what people can do with the internet, but they give you enough data to get by no matter what you're going to do. If it's like some YouTube streaming during the day or watching Netflix, you can still get by. Cable, fiber, DSL packages, those are pretty much uncapped all the time, no matter where you are in the States. And they're cheap, the land-based options to give you Wi-Fi. Whereas in this country, a lot of people, if you have uncapped, it's uncapped with a lot of caveats. You know, the second you get near a data cap, they start throttling your connection. And if you go with a capped connection like I have at home, where, you know, you have, we need quality of service. We want the internet at home to always be fast. So we go for a capped connection, which is rad until you start, you know, getting the pressure at the end of the month. I mean, we've got 200 gigs during the day and then a terabyte at night. So anything massive, downloading like games and stuff, we download
at
overnight.
Night, yeah.
And then like, streaming music, cool. Streaming video and TV and YouTube and stuff. By the 30th day of the month, it started to add up. You know, if you do a gig, 2 gigs a day between two different people, plus all your other downloading that's incidental, you know, like updates and things.
What is cool is that I'm seeing a lot of internet providers, at least locally, now, a lot of the uncapped packages still have those kind of you know, restrictions. They say, you know, you have this what they call like a soft cap. So they say
fair usage policy.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, cool. So you can use this sort of internet traffic for an unlimited amount. And if you use this sort of internet traffic, say like downloading torrents from BitTorrent, downloading your illegal series and all that jab, if you download over like 50 gigs or something, you're going to start getting throttled. The cool thing is that a lot of these uncapped packages are now including streaming into their unlimited options. So like, especially like my internet package now, I can stream from Netflix or YouTube or Hulu or wherever, and it never falls under something that will ever be throttled, which is awesome.
The second you go to P2P traffic,
then you get screwed.
Yeah, then you get screwed royally.
But like, so it's this cool thing that streaming is becoming a more a more accepted thing.
It's an accepted usage of your internet.
Which is great.
Which is fantastic. It's the way it should be, because they're realizing more and more cord cutters. So that's the general term for people who are like, I don't need like a proper TV connection, like an aerial plugged into my TV. I'll just use the internet. Or I don't want a radio. I'd rather stream stuff like over the Cliff Central app or anything where you've ditched old school media and you've sort of converted into the new school way of doing things.
Yeah.
That you'd be classified as a cord cutter. And legitimately, there's been a bit of a stigma like placed on it by the fact that you've got these heavily capped packages. So at least now they're starting to open up to the fact that people want to use the internet for anything that they want to use it for. Mm. So I think Netflix, massive, especially now that they say that they're new. So what they basically coming back to that whole thing about the new tech that they're using in their encoding, they've said they've dropped the amount of data each show takes up to 20%. So
that's huge.
20% less data coming in for us is massive. I mean, in the States, all that's going to do is it's going to drop off. At peak usage, Netflix uses a third of all the internet in America. So that's like during the night when people get home and they want to watch TV, a third of the entire nation's internet in America, which, let's be honest, is the best internet nation in terms of overall houses connected to the internet in terms of mass. Mm. So they use more of the internet than the rest of the world.
Like speed per capita, almost.
No, so speed per capita, Eastern Europe will slaughter them.
Oh, okay,
because
okay.
Eastern Europe has like these, they're pretty much, they didn't have legacy connections, so they rolled out fiber to everyone. When they like got internet, they got proper internet.
Oh, casual.
And then like, but that's not like, they don't have 400 million people like the States does. And like pretty much, I'd say 85% of the people in the States are probably connected to a broadband solution that can stream Netflix. Mm. So a third of America's internet is Netflix. So when they say they're dropping it by 20%, they're decongesting the internet in the entire country.
By 20%. That's ridiculous.
So that's actually by 6% when you sort of, well, like 6.6% when you work the maths out. But whatever, you know, it's a significant chunk down on the entire nation's internet. So it's helping pretty much all of those service providers. So if you look at something like that in South Africa, so Netflix coming here means that we will have a massive, massive problem on our internet connections for those of us using high density exchanges. So places in like Four Ways in the middle of Sandton and those high density residential places that all use the same exchange, they're going to hit a lot of traffic because you're looking at middle to upper class people who mostly have internet connections that are land based, so DSL or things like that. Mm-hmm. The guys in like Parkhurst who have fiber, then no one cares. Fiber's got enough capacity.
But
But like people who are like connected to an ADSL exchange where there's like 40 families rocking off of 4 meg lines, that stuff's going to see some stress.
Oh, yeah.
Some decent stress. And we're going to learn exactly what it means to have a congested internet in this country very shortly.
But this is why this is good. Because this, I mean, when I was still on ADSL and using a 4 meg, like I could watch Netflix at certain times of the day, like you're saying. At night, it became an issue because exchanges were like just congested. And just like not even people streaming, just people doing normal internet stuff at night.
People are home, their phones and their tablets are now connected to Wi-Fi and using data.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a huge stress. So being able to cut this down by 20% essentially means that maybe if you weren't able to like stream on a 4 meg line, maybe now it'll be possible. Maybe it'll still be like shit quality, but you'll be able to actually watch your show at night, and then during the day it will be even better.
Yeah.
And then if you're on a 10 meg line, you can expect like HD like 90% of the time. So cutting it down by half is awesome, and if it's implemented on the servers here as well, is even better.
Yeah. Because so they're re-encoding. So the thing is, the trick is they have to re-encode each show individually.
Oh, damn. Okay.
And because they've got geniuses who work there, they've got algorithms that go through these shows, slice it up into multiple little pieces, and then look at each piece and re-encode each piece with a new algorithm. It's nuts. But the cool thing is so Netflix uses Amazon to host all of their stuff. So EC2, they've got two different servers in the US, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and they dynamically share load. And if one of them goes down, one server can host the whole of America. That's how they do it. So that's super technical stuff for we spend a lot of money with Amazon, right? But basically what they do is, as we said, there's peak demand. So like when people get home at night, 30% of the nation's internet is watching Netflix. So their servers are crunching through data like you've got no idea. The rest of the time, during the workday, no one is watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, some people are watching Netflix because they're not doing work. But like most of the nation's trying to build an economy and whatever. So basically what happens is they take all of that that compute power that they have at Amazon. They take all of that and they shunt it into re-encoding their entire collection.
Yeah.
So Netflix, super smart people, Amazon making lots of money off of them. And hopefully soon they'll be making money off of me because I'm hoping that their library isn't crap. Like,
yeah.
There is this massive library in the States, and I want that library to come here pretty much with zero, like, excuses or caveats or, like, just, by the way, we can't give you this show. I really couldn't care what the excuse is. That library better be as close to complete as possible.
I think it's going to be, at the beginning, I think it's going to be a tricky thing. So, Netflix will always have its Netflix originals. So, yeah. Like you said, the Marvel stuff, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and you've got House of Cards, you've got Orange is the New Black, and all sorts of all cool Netflix exclusive movies. That's going to be there, like, for certain. But there's a lot of stuff that's going to be, I think, in the way of, DSTV in general has got a lot of licenses for a lot of shows here locally. Yeah. So what happens there? There so becomes a bit of a conflict.
That's the thing. They've got terrestrial broadcast licenses.
Not streaming.
But here's the thing. So the guys who own DSTV, MultiChoice, also happen to own something else that we're going to talk about today called Showmax, which is their streaming option. So that's 99 Rand a month. It's pretty much exactly where Netflix is going to sort of be pricing itself. If you look at their, I think they've got an $8 plan, which I mean over the last couple of weeks has gone from 100 rand a month to, you know, like 2 grand a month.
Local pricing is going to be interesting.
Pricing is going to be very interesting when it gets down to it. But if you look at like all of the music streaming guys, they all came in at around the same price.
Even
Apple Music came down to the 70 rand level, which is cheaper than the $10
the States,
they charge in the States.
Exactly.
So I think the big thing is that Showmax has obviously like gotten up some licensing. And if they've got any exclusive licensing, then we're going to see some gameplay between the two. So then is Netflix going to try and dominate them? But they can't because MultiChoice, remember, they've got sport, which is why people still buy DSTV.
Yeah.
And that money is going to be bankrolling stuff for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
On top of that, Nasbars, who owns MultiChoice, who owns both of those things, also happens to own MWeb, which is a significant portion of South Africans' internet as well, and they have data centers and stuff. So they're not stupid when it comes to like the backhaul on all of the streaming things, which Netflix is dumping into a data center, and they've got to now build connections with everyone else and hope that, you know, everything goes peachy. So Netflix coming here, lots of positives, lots of questions to be answered, especially around value. You know, is this the kind of thing that you're going to dump DSTV for in like a day? If you don't watch sport, yes.
Yeah,
kill
easily.
It. Kill it with fire. Go with Showmax and go with Netflix. You're paying $200 a month instead of 700. Put the other 500 rand a month into a better internet connection and you will be happier.
You just got to be chill with like not seeing series as they come out. Because Netflix and Showmax work on the premise of
it's already
series.
Finished. Yeah.
So
you've either got to be that guy or you've got to be the kind that, you know, sails the seven seas of piracy.
Yeah,
but,
Yeah.
Well, there's that. You know, you can't discount that. And one of the things that MultiChoice has done over the last year is that they've brought a lot of their shows direct from the States next day.
Yeah.
So
it's
instead
trying to curb it,
exactly. So instead of people going and download. Now, the big issue is, can they put that on a streaming service? Can they get that same deal locked up? Can Netflix get that same deal locked up? Because if they can, then it legitimizes that streaming service beyond all others. So that's the big thing. Terrestrial TV still holds a lot of sway. Like if MultiChoice gave me a sport only package and then the ability to stream everything else through whatever service I wanted to, so be it Showmax, be it Netflix, be it whatever else, if I got that sport only package, I would pay them money for it.
Oh yeah, I think a lot of people would, because I'm in that situation now. I've basically cut my DSTV cord now. I'm all on Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that. But I still need to watch like sports, and and they know this. MultiChoice knows this, and they keep it in their like premium bouquet. Like, so things are going to change. Things are going to change because a lot of people are sacrificing that now just for
and they'll go to
series
like a,
and movies.
They'll
and
go
stuff.
To friends or to a pub or something like that, and they'll watch there.
Or someone knows someone with a you know little streaming thing that they can put on their iPad or something. So exactly. So it's going to change, and I think it's going to change very soon. And Netflix is going to be the first step in this. Don't expect stuff like Hulu and stuff to get you because that's still very much States only.
Yeah.
But Netflix is huge in this, and this is going to kick off streaming in South Africa.
Hulu's that big movie catalog, right?
They've got Hulu's like series and movies, but Hulu does the whole weekly thing. So new episodes every week and stuff like that. But that is, that's not even in the UK. That's all in the States.
That's in America. So if you're looking for that, you're still looking to VPN or like mask your IP or, you know, tunnel
Which is easy stuff. A lot of people are doing it.
A lot of stuff. Yeah. You can do that pretty easily these days.
And it's legal.
Companies like Uno Tele and things like that. Mm-hmm. Granted, you know, if they ever found out, they could technically say you're breaching their terms of service.
Netflix doesn't care. They could
cancel your account, but you're giving them money.
Yeah.
So let's be honest, they're probably not going to do it. So is it against their user license? Yes. Are they going to stop you? No.
I think at one point Australia, because Australia doesn't have Netflix either, and Australia made up something like 10% of Netflix's market, and they're not even supported there. Netflix is like, that's fine. Like, we're not going to touch them because they're giving us a lot of money legally. So why, you know, why are we going to go after them? So it comes around all these like geolocation rules and stuff like that, but that's for governments to sort out and not for Netflix.
You know, that means it lands up in the Film and Publications Board.
That's their problem.
Which we all know, let's be honest, that's where things go to die. That's where all the cool things go to die. Yeah. So let's hope that because of Showmax is Naspers, which means it's money. Mm. That's the serious part of the South African Stock Exchange behind this thing. So you must know that Netflix coming here is a cool thing. And it's not just here, hey? They're expanding into, like they said, over 160 markets or something, I think, like that, in the next year.
Yeah.
Netflix is going to take over the world.
Yeah.
They legitimately want to be the iTunes of, like, TV
which
and
good.
Stuff. Which
it's
is fantastic. Yeah. I mean, like, if you're going to stream movies, if you're going to stream music, you may as well stream movies. And everyone's comfortable with music streaming, I think.
Yeah, like, I think that's very normal. And I think it's like the kind of like push into the right direction of streaming.
Yeah, because it's, you know, the number one complaint is people buy 16 gig phones. I don't understand why companies still make 16 gig phones. It's a big problem. But people buy it and then you try and put like your music collection on. And if you can have like one of three things. You can have apps, you can have your music, or you can have your pictures. Yeah. You can't pick two, you can pick one and that's it.
Yeah.
And the rest has to be somewhere in the cloud somewhere. So like streaming music, fantastic. Uploading all of your pictures into the cloud and looking
maybe
at them
not
that
so
way.
Fantastic.
If you do it over a Wi-Fi connection and you know
and you're not popular enough for someone to try and steal them, you know.
Yeah. So don't upload those pictures. Those ones you should never upload, you know. But like the other ones, that's you know, the
family photos.
Family photos and going on holiday and things like that. That's so much better. But I think that's the thing is we're getting to a point where it's a 16 gig phone could almost be possible if you can stream everything. Then we have to look at things like, as we've discussed, you know, data bundles and connections and what your cap is and all of that kind of thing. Because if it lives in the cloud, you know, there's that one day where you've used your entire cap and then all of your data and all of your like all of your music and you just want to listen to one jam and it's in the cloud and you're screwed.
Yeah,
that's it. You've got friends coming over for a party and you can't even play music.
I honestly think this whole push towards streaming with Netflix and Showmax and all of that, it's really going to put pressure on internet providers to get better.
Yeah.
Like, because the demand is there. There's a demand that people want to stream the stuff and they need the bandwidth to stream the stuff. So we got fiber, like in very small areas.
Spotty.
And it's stupid expensive at the moment. You've got LTE rolling out in a lot of places
and
now.
And Telkom trying to grab the market with that LTE.
And it's really good at the moment.
It's super cheap because what they're trying to do is they've got these towers that have been sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
They have no subscribers. And the worst thing for a network is having no subscribers. They'd rather have people paying super cheap prices
and actually
and still being on the
it,
tower. So they're offering LTE at super, super cheap prices just to try and get people on. And like Alessandro is one of those people.
Yeah, one of those people. It's like,
dude,
it's
cheap. You can't discount money. Money is a big factor in what internet connection you have. That's why I said, like, kill your DSTV account. Put the money into internet. Internet is far better for you than regular TV. You don't have adverts. You get all the rad stuff.
Obviously,
you
if you can. Some people are stuck in areas where it's like, well, 4 meg is your best option.
Dude,
like,
some people are stuck in areas where 4 meg is a pipe dream.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I have friends who they've got, I think, LTE coverage from one of the networks, but their like DSL speed is 2.4 megs on a 4 meg line.
Ah, shame.
Because they belong to an exchange that is further from their house than they should be. You know,
that's what mine used to be.
Legacy, exactly.
Yeah.
So you've got these legacy systems that are completely screwing pretty much everyone. But it's an interesting point that we bring up, that you've got to localize the service and make it relevant for South Africans. So if you look at Showmax, they're selling vouchers through Pick and Pay. So you don't have a credit card, no problem. You can go and get a voucher to start streaming Showmax stuff at home. You can get a, I think it's a 1 month, a 3 month, and a 6 month voucher.
That's good.
So
that's good.
You can get that. They're tapping into that whole, you know, birthday present thing where someone, like, you know, someone uses it and you just give them a voucher for it.
And also people for some reason are still very wary about putting credit card information on the internet.
My mother has a credit card. I still book her flights for her.
She refuses.
My mother would rather have me book a flight on my credit card, transfer me the money, than actually go and do it. So it's this really, really interesting place where you know, we know for a fact that there's credit card fraud and things like that. And
it exists.
It's that thing that you just sort of deal with on day to day.
Yeah.
But Showmax looking to, you know, still capitalize. Netflix is going to be credit card only. You've got no choice.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to be.
So if you're scared of that,
it's probably going to be PayPal or something like that.
Yeah.
So you must know you're in for a, if you want Netflix and you're listening to this, like, best be getting on that credit card life.
Yeah.
Because that's how it's going to happen. I mean, you don't have to use it for anything else. By all means, I'm not telling you to get in debt or anything, but like if you want Netflix, there's very few ways to get it. It's an international company. They don't have time to go and like roll out a specific strategy to, let's be honest, we're a tiny addressable market. Mm. I mean, we're 10% of the people that even exist in America. Like, our population is 10% of their size. And then when you look at like internet penetration, like proper internet, we're not talking like cell phones or whatever. Like, we're talking about proper fixed line broadband where you can actually do some downloading at home or stream stuff, or you've got Wi-Fi that's capable enough to like stream to your tablet where you work or whatever, you know. Mm. We're looking at like a maybe edging towards double digit percentage points, but definitely not at 10% yet.
So we're tiny.
So that's, so you're looking really at 1% of what America is as an addressable market. That's not even people that are going to take this up. So let's be honest, Netflix coming here, but not exactly going to be pandering to our desires for everything.
But this is cool that Showmax is doing this.
Showmax is South African.
Showmax is South Africans, and they understand the needs here.
And more to they're even better than that. Last week, they announced that you can, if you've got the Android version of their app, of the Showmax app, you can now download things to listen to offline.
See, that to me is an essential thing for streaming services. And I know a lot of music services do it. Not many video at all do it.
No. So music, 100%. Music services all over the place. Audio, Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, Google Play Music, which just arrived here. Everybody understands. Internet connection, you're not always going to want to stream your entire music collection. You're going to want to download playlists and albums and things. You know, if you're going to listen to Taylor Swift's album 467 times in a week, you're the kind of person that's going to download that album, keep it on your like phone, and there's no reason to have to stream that every single time.
Exactly, yeah.
So, but this is the thing, is TV is a different thing. No one does TV or movies or anything like that in any way closely resembling the way that guys do music. And it's a massive problem. So Showmax, loving that innovation at the moment.
It.
So the Android app, I tried it out the other day. I am a Showmax subscriber. If I have to work late at night and I'm just doing like mindless work, I just stream Showmax in the background because the office is empty, the internet connection is free, like I get decent bandwidth going, and I can just like
series,
you know,
done.
And it's the binge watching thing, which Netflix has got down to an art. You know, it's the series where you've got like 150 million different things to watch, and all of these episodes are queued up in the background, and you just want to go season one, season two, season three.
Yeah.
That's what Showmax is there for. But you can also, if you on the train every day, you can download an episode for the train ride there and the train ride back.
Or a domestic flight or
there
international flight, something like that. Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Sweet. If you guys have been listening and you want to chat to us, there's a couple of ways. We always do dig getting a couple of messages from you guys. So you can phone in. It's 0861-555-189. So that's 0861-555, very American, 189. Twitter, you can hit us up at cliffcentral.com. Facebook, Cliff Central. WeChat, really nice and easy. It's sitting in front of me right here if you want to message us. WeChat ID is Cliff Central. To send us a message, you tap connect and then message to show. Send it through to us. Any questions you have about any of the streaming services, especially like the music and the movies and stuff, which we use a hell of a lot, definitely digging that. Send it through. We're going to take a little break and we'll be back after this.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.
What are you doing for New Year's Eve? Join us for the sexiest VIP party at Madison Avenue, Santon's newest nightclub. Cliff Central's taking over the VIP area, so join us as our special VIP and start 2016 on the right note. General admission is 200 Rand, but our exclusive VIP party together with Absolute Vodka is 500 Rand, which includes great music with me, Gareth Cliff O'Neill, Miss Prue and the Cliff Central crew, an outdoor tented area, lots of bars, food, prizes, gorgeous people, and a night to remember. Book now for Cliff Central Rocks Madison at CompuTicket.com. Go to CliffCentral.com for more details and stay tuned for everything you need to know. Be Absolute and rock into 2016 with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.
And we're back. If you haven't been listening and you only tuned in now, we're talking everything streaming. I think we should just call this the streaming show.
Mm.
It's a lot better than anything else we've done in the past. You know, we just ramble usually. Now we actually have like cohesive thought.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Quite cool.
Yeah.
Quite cool to have structure, you know.
There we go. So before the break, we were talking all about video streaming. So that's things like Netflix coming to South Africa, Showmax and all the rad things that they're doing there. There's obviously other guys in the space. You've got like Vidi and I think on something or other that MTN does, that there's like a...
Oh, they tried that for a while, yeah. I don't know if they're still doing
they've
that,
they've rebranded it recently, but as you can tell, if it's not really making waves with people who use streaming services, it's unlikely to be the best service out there. Although MTN... See, the thing with all of these services is they offer it on the back of like fiber. So MTN's offering it on the back of fiber. And
which is not bad.
Vodacom's going to start offering fiber as soon as they chalk up that Neotel deal and grab all of the fiber that's in the ground from Neotel. And so the one big thing, as we've said, you know, connectivity is something you cannot ignore from this whole thing. I mean, connectivity is one of those massive, massive bottlenecks where it comes to all of this. And as we know in South Africa, you know, connectivity not always going to be the most amazing thing. So, but where we have been doing really well over the last couple of years is in streaming music. It's become so normal in South Africa to have a streaming music provider that I don't think there's too many people out there who haven't heard of it. So it's, especially, I mean, if you have an iPhone, you've definitely heard about it. That's mostly because, you know, you've been pushed the advertising by Apple harder than anyone else, because they gave you that little music thing that you can't delete. And
it's now, just there.
It's just there.
And every time you open it, it's exactly. Like, buy us, please.
Yeah, please buy. And you're in the App Store and it says, have you tried Apple Music? And they're like, you know, everywhere you go that's got an Apple on it, it's like, try the music thing. Try it now,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, exactly.
Please, we want to sell you something. But yeah, so Apple Music is actually, we were discussing it in that little break we had. Apple Music is really good.
Apple Music is the coolest thing I have on my iPhone at the moment. Like, I've got to the point where my dad and I are huge music fanatics. We listen to a lot of music, and we used to go through periods of our lives where we'd have, you know, two or three portable terabyte hard drives, just that was just music. Yeah. And the other day he came home and he was like, hey, I've got a whole new terabyte of music I got from a friend. Yeah, I'm like, I don't care. Like, it sounds rude, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Because I take out my phone and I've got that. Yeah. I've got everything on my phone. It's on demand. It's not taking up space, which is to me like the best part of it. And it's cheap.
As nice as that solution sounded, you're still carrying around that portable terabyte?
Well, yeah, you're carrying it around, but it's like in the cloud.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? It's there.
It's lighter.
Yeah, I don't need to. Personally, like, I don't have to deal with iTunes. I don't have to deal with putting music on my phone. Like, I can be in the car and be like, hey, today's like a Eminem day.
Yeah.
Done. You know, I've got all these albums there. Done. Sorted.
Just push button.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to worry about what I put on my phone when I was at home 20 minutes ago while I'm stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
Music streaming, that is exactly what music streaming is.
Exactly. So, like, I spend a lot of last month commuting to Pretoria on the Gautrain.
Yeah.
And that's just dead time. So, I listen to podcasts and music and streaming music, and I watch YouTube. And, like, YouTube now lets you download stuff for offline viewing, which is, like,
the coolest
super
thing ever.
Amazing, because like in the last couple of weeks there were a few trailers for superhero movies that were coming out.
Just a couple
and the problem is I'm the kind of person that watches it and then watches it again, and then like the inspiration will strike and I'll watch it again, and then I'll tell like a friend about it and they're like, I haven't seen it, and like watch it again, and like, you know,
you show it to the guy next to you on the train,
exactly, like, have you seen this did you know there's a new Captain America movie coming? So these uniquely African solutions, you know, like, we have crap internet in comparison to the rest of the world. Let's be upfront about that. You don't come to South Africa to have an amazing internet connection.
No, you don't.
You can get one. there are places that these places do exist where, like, you have to buy in Parkhurst, by the way. That's basically it. Or anything with a park in the name.
Yeah, or Houghton, maybe.
Even Houghton. Like, it's hard out here, you know. Like, you've got Telkom doing your fiber there, and I don't even know if they've finished rolling it out everywhere in Houghton yet. So, connectivity, not great. Yeah. Downloading stuff for offline use, fantastic. Queue up a whole bunch of movies at night. Get it for your commute the next morning. And as we were saying, this was all pioneered by the music guys. So we had, you know, up until recently in South Africa, you've got Deezer, which is the big one. That's backed by Vodacom. Apple, obviously, giant elephant in the room. Google Play Music just came into the country.
Huge.
Now, we are an Android country, by and large. Like, obviously, in the tech circles and the gaming circles and things like that, we see a lot of iPhones. It's an upper echelon sort of device, and a lot of people that we know would have it simply because they, you know, you play with a lot of things, you want the premium one at the end of the day. So a lot of people land up with that, but there's still a lot more people that land up with Android. And, you know, streaming music, not that expensive for most people. I mean, like, granted, a lot of people aren't going to say 70 rand a month is nothing, but still, it's very acceptable. As you say, you know, I like listening to music quite a lot, and I like having the variety of, especially with the recommendation services of something like Apple Music or Spotify still has the best recommendation. Yeah. The only problem with Spotify, we don't get it in the country, so you've got to jump through hoops like with Netflix, and it's a little bit harder because it's on your mobile device.
On your phone, yeah, it's not the easiest thing in the world,
and you've got to buy vouchers to like pay for it because you can't pay with your South African credit card, and
it's a hassle.
It's a workaround, and that's why I don't mind the local services. They're like 80 to 90% as good, and just here's my credit card, or here's, you know, an iTunes voucher from a store, and just deduct it straight off of that, and I don't care. I want ease of use. That's where it comes down to with me, and I'm willing to pay for ease of use. So I think Google Play Music is going to be massive in the country.
Yeah.
And my biggest problem over the last couple of weeks has been that RDO is shutting down. I've been an RDO user since the week they came out in South Africa. That was it for me. It was like I had a legitimate streaming music provider that I had seen overseas and had read stuff about, and I was like, damn it, they're in the country, going for it, 100%. Yeah. And one of my favorite things was they had a link in with Shazam where you'd Shazam a song and it would add it to a playlist straight
Rad. Okay.
So you'd be like, oh my God, what's that song? And you just push Shazam and it adds it straight to a playlist.
That is awesome,
and
actually.
And that playlist was always downloaded on my phone. So like the new song, I'd get into Wi-Fi, that new song would be on my playlist and I could always just, you know, play it straight away. And then, do you like that album? Add the whole album in. And that kind of thing for music discovery is really rad, and I'm going to miss that a lot.
Because now it's dead. Audio's officially dead, like dead. Today or tomorrow.
The 22nd tomorrow. So,
22nd.
Yeah. Pandora, which is a streaming provider we don't get in South Africa. They're actually the largest in the world. They have more subscribers than anyone else. And they've bought all of Audio's tech and all of its people. Obviously, they're letting some people go and stuff like that. But I think the biggest thing that I need is I need discovery. I'm not great at going out and finding rad new music. I don't listen to a lot of radio anymore, so like top 40 radio where you'd normally find like the stuff that's breaking and whatever, I don't really listen to much of that. And the recommendation services, like the first setup of Apple Music where you're pushing the little bubbles and
those don't work too well.
Like that does not work nearly as well as it should. The playlists that I get sometimes, like when it shows up a new playlist, that kind of works, like the running playlists. And
their radios are really cool as well.
The radio is amazing.
Yeah, the radio is where I find most of my new music sometimes. So sometimes, like you said, you're just in a rut and you're like, I don't really know what to listen to. You hit up Apple Music's radios and they've got a radio for like rock or alternative or like country or rap.
Have you listened to
anything,
their actual radio station?
Beats One. Yeah, the Beats One is also
Beats
phenomenal.
One is really, really good really, for music really good. Discovery.
Yeah, because 24-hour music.
Exactly. It's not constrained like a top 40 music station would be by, you know, what would be popular in this country.
Yeah.
Or what they think is breaking overseas or whatever. This is like, they just branch out a lot more. And I've discovered so much cool stuff listening to as you say, the radio stations.
Yeah.
Spotify wins because it's just got an algorithm that picks stuff.
Basically.
I don't understand it, how they've done it.
But it works all the time.
I keep saying it. Algorithm is the fancy word for when people don't want to describe something complicated. They just say algorithm. But there is one, and it works. And it takes all of your music and goes, you'll like this. And you hit the button, and you're like, oh my God, I like this.
Yeah.
Where did this come from? And I think we're missing that again. It's like, we've got a problem now. Like, where are we going to discover music? Radio is dying, essentially. I mean, people are spending less and less time listening to regular broadcasted mediums, TV, radio. All that kind of stuff is dying in the face
of
the
internet. All cars have an auxiliary port. Everyone's using stuff on their phone. Everyone's
or
streaming
Bluetooth,
podcasts.
Yeah,
or,
so, you know, that's the kind of thing. And there's a problem now that we've got to find a new way of discovering music. And that's where, like, the Beats One Radio or music podcasts or, you know, just like algorithms that figure out what music you may like that has come up recently or whatever that other people in your network are liking. That's going to play a big part.
But if you're on an Android phone, you actually have choice. So if you're on Apple, you've got Apple Music.
Yeah.
Google's Play Music isn't on iPhone.
Yeah.
But Apple Music is on Android as well.
Yes, it is.
So you've actually got the choice between Apple Music and Google Play Music, and both kind of do the exact same thing for
Deezer,
yeah. No, not audio anymore.
Whatever.
But they kind of do the exact same thing for almost identical prices. You can, Apple Music and Google Play allow you to download music offline, so you can keep it on your phone. So if you're like on a plane where there's no internet, you can actually still listen to your music.
Exactly.
And they all cost, I mean, Apple Music's like $70.
$70 a month.
Locally, I don't know what Google Play, I think it's like 50, isn't it?
I think it's 50.
Yeah,
but
I think it's around 50.
You get a month for free with them. You get three months for free with Apple.
Yeah, you get 3 months free with Apple, and then it starts coming off your account without you even kind of knowing it.
Yeah,
and
it just
happens.
You're just poorer every month.
Yeah, I just get an email.
As,
you know?
As with everything that Apple does, you're just poorer afterwards. That's just, but you're happy, but you're poorer. Mm. That's sort of their vibe.
And if you're on Apple Music and you've got a family that listens to music, you've also got that
family
sharing. Yeah, $150, and it's four accounts, I think, you can link up to it. I don't know if Google has an identical thing to that.
I don't think they have it here.
Yeah.
The nice thing about Google, you can upload your entire music collection to them. It's going to take you 6 years because we've got terrible upload speeds. If our download speeds are anything, our upload speeds are worse. So it's going to take you ages to upload it, but then you can stream anything from your music collection.
Oh, fantastic.
Apple
okay, cool.
uses iTunes Match, which tries and finds the identical song in iTunes to the one you have and then adds that to your digital collection. It's a once, I think it's an annual fee, and you pay it, and like the first thing, it just scans through your whole library and goes, you have all of these songs, and adds them to your library digitally, and then you can stream everything. So it's an additional cost for Apple. The one thing I really wanted to talk to you about specifically is streaming of video games.
Yeah, that's actually a thing, actually, and a lot of people don't know that. I mean, when you think of...
Well, yeah, they would.
Yeah,
but like, internationally, it's a thing.
Yeah, internationally, a thing. So streaming video games is not watching Twitch, okay? Even though when you think of streaming and video games, that's immediately what you think. Watching
other people,
you know,
play
delinquent teenagers play video games and watching them play video
games.
Or
watching PewDiePie make money.
Yeah, watching PewDiePie make insane amounts of money every single day. So that's streaming in a video game sense. But you do get streaming services that allow you to actually play a game on like a laptop or a computer that would never be able to run a video game. So what happens is you have these services like OnLive, and you have something like PlayStation Now, which is only on PlayStation.
Yeah.
So what it does is it plays a game on a server somewhere overseas, because it's only overseas.
It's magic.
Yeah. It plays the game there, and it beams that game over the internet to you, and you have the controller, and you putting in your inputs, and it's sending your inputs back to the server, and basically the game's being played somewhere else other than your living room.
Because remember, we spoke about latency in the first half of this,
and this
podcast?
This is where it becomes interesting. So video is different. Video, you are getting a packet of data, and it's being displayed, and that's it.
Yeah.
Here, you're getting a game that is being displayed. It is then taking input from you. That is being sent back to a server, being interpreted there, and then being sent back to you. It is an insane amount of data that is being handled per second.
And all of this takes time.
Yeah,
every single thing. Like, we can't help that it takes time. You push a button, it takes time to get to the server, to be processed by the server, for the server to do something about it. Take that, make it into a picture, send the picture back to you, and for the picture to actually get back to you. And then for your phone or whatever, your laptop, to display that. All of that takes time, and the only places you can really change where that happens is in the sending from you to the server and the server to you. That's the only thing you can change. So, and that's your bandwidth, that is your connection, and it's basically your, if you've ever done a speed test and you see the ping time, that thing is important, like super important.
And it's not even the same as, say, playing a game online. Like, when you're playing a game online, it's doing exactly that, but the game is being handled
On your computer
or your console there. This is actually this is the entire game being sent to you. And it's really, it's super interesting because the idea of having a laptop that can play any single game possible.
Playing Crysis on maximum settings.
On a laptop is
on
like,
a laptop is unheard of.
Yeah, it's unheard of. It's impossible. But it's insane to think that maybe one day that will be the future. And, you know, a future where you're not buying games, you're paying a service like $15 a month and you've got this collection of games, you know, just coming to you.
Let's That's be rad. Honest. With the current Rand dollar, we're going to see 1,100 Rand for a game.
Easy.
Very, very shortly.
It's
1,100, 1,200 Rand for a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One
definitely
game. Any of those premier AAA tier 1 titles, they're coming in at four figures easily.
It's already 900. So it's
900. It's not
yeah.
that far, and they can't absorb the losses forever.
No.
And the Rand has just gone to pit. So, yeah.
So imagine
remember.
A service where you're paying, even if you're paying
300 Rand a month,
300, 400 Rand a month, and you've got a
any
collection
game.
Of like 20, 30 games at any given time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So EA does.
They have an EA access, but that's still
but
downloading.
You still
game.
Have to download the entire game.
Yeah,
so they give you
streaming.
They give you a catalog that you pay for monthly. You get early access to some games.
Yeah.
And then you get to download to play on your Xbox One.
Yeah,
it's only on Xbox.
Yeah.
So you get to play that game on your Xbox, and that's it. And that's the only thing. PlayStation has PlayStation Now.
Yeah, PlayStation Now. PlayStation Now was kind of Sony's answer to backwards compatibility. So a lot of people want to play PS3 games, they want to play PS2 games on their PS4.
Well, it's because you buy a PS4 and you've got all these PS3 games and suddenly you've got nothing
you've got
to
none
play.
Yeah, your entire
I have
collection
60
does
games, but I cannot play one.
Yeah, so they have this really cool streaming service that kind of works in the States, and that's where it kind of works. It doesn't work anywhere else really, even places like the UK and and places in Europe.
It
just doesn't happen because the bandwidth you need to stream a game to the point where it actually feels like you're playing the game there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking speeds in excess of 100 megabytes per second.
Yeah. So
that's just not possible.
You need 100 megabit fiber. You need it.
That's a requirement.
And you can't be doing much else on it.
Mm.
That's kind of the thing. They say you can get away with like a copper line with like 40 meg connections.
Yeah.
And listen, you can't. Because the like quality of image you're going to be getting is terrible. The lag you're going to be getting is terrible.
Listen. When you're streaming games, no matter how fast your internet's going to be, it's
lag.
Never going to be as good as if you're playing it on a console. Your image quality is not going to be as good. Your latency, it's going to feel weird. Like, your brain will notice it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a slight delay, but your brain will pick up that when you're pressing forward, there's a
tiny... You might not know it. Like, you might not know what's wrong, but
something's definitely wrong.
Your character is going to feel like a turtle wading through peanut butter with a parachute on its back, and it's just going to be like slowly creeping along at like a speed that you're not happy with.
Yeah.
And gaming is about being, this is the big, you know, when people go 900p versus 1080p and we're not getting like full resolution and the frame rate is dropping below 30.
You
and
never
like,
found people more stingy than gamers when it comes to that.
PC gamers are the worst.
Yeah.
And then it downgrades to console gamers, and then people who've never played a game are actually normal again. Like,
yeah, they're just like, oh, this game looks pretty.
Yeah, what is that? That looks fun.
Yeah.
And you're like, the frame rate is terrible.
Yeah.
So this is a big problem for us gamers, and PS Now is like the ultimate answer because it's got a couple of cool things that it does. You know, it's you can buy a game digitally, and while it's downloading in the background, it will stream the game so you can start playing it.
Yeah.
So you start playing from level one, your saved games are all in the cloud, and then when the game's finished downloading, you know, you're like, you stop playing at like 2 a.m. as one does, and then
it's
like
the
by 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, the game is downloaded and your saved game is still there.
Mm.
That is the ideal solution. That is where you want to be. And then you can still stream it to like a PlayStation TV, which is a tiny little box. You can still stream the game to that, or you
for
can play
another TV in your house.
Exactly.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
You can play on a Sony tablet with the little controller or whatever, and you can play PS Now on that.
Or on
and
your Vita or something like that,
All amazing things. Amazing things in a first world country that this service was designed for.
Yeah.
That only a small percentage of that first world country can even use because of how demanding it is on the actual connections and things. And just think, 6 o'clock at night, people are watching Netflix, the internet in the country is screwed. You can't even play your game anymore.
Yeah. No, that's why PlayStation Now hasn't replaced physical media. It hasn't replaced people buying games because it's just not feasible. And I don't think it's going to be feasible for a good few years. This is like we were saying during the break, this is kind of the start of gaming streaming.
Yeah.
When Netflix first got in the game, this is kind of how it went.
Yeah.
Like, it was so new and it was so different for the infrastructure at the time that it just like wasn't feasible. So gaming, I think in the next maybe not even 5 years, maybe 10 years, this will be the way people play games. You won't be buying media, you won't be buying games.
It'll be subscription based.
Yeah, subscription based. And that's where it's headed.
Is it gonna be subscription based streaming, or is it gonna be you can subscribe and download any of these five?
I think at the end of the day, just like music and now like Showmax is doing, you need some sort of offline functionality, because as soon as your internet dies, being cut off from all your content is a bad thing.
Yeah.
So I think it will be a bit of a mix, and I think there's going to be a lot more services. PlayStation bought Gaikai to get PlayStation Now going.
Yeah.
On Live is like a bit terrible. Xbox isn't even looking at this at the moment. So I don't know. Maybe in the near future, yeah, but not right now at the moment.
Okay. So we've got a gaming-based question.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Guy wants to know how he can update his FIFA 15 squads on his PS3.
What?
Because he doesn't have the cash to buy FIFA 16. And this is where they get you.
Yeah.
Is to get the updated squads, you have to buy the new one. Or you have to go and manually edit your entire team and everyone else's team.
I don't even think you can do that with the stats, though, in FIFA.
You can't do it with the stats. No. So you can move the players around,
but they'll still be the same.
And this is where the streaming thing would be rad, because you'd pay like $30 or whatever, or you know, R300 a month or whatever it is, and when FIFA 15 is no longer like the newest FIFA, you'd
get the new FIFA straight
sick
away
and kill it. But that's the thing, is I think they're never going to be streaming like a full catalog of games and you've got like nothing there. I think for the most part, we're going to get, you have 35 games, you're allowed to take two of them and download them at a time and then play those for your subscription service, and you can delete one and download a new one. And I think that's probably reasonably where we're going to go. And I think that's probably
a reasonable thing. Yeah, I'd buy into that.
Yeah.
If you had the internet to kind of do it. Yeah. But it's the future. And that's music is there, videos there, gaming will get there one day.
Okay. So that's pretty much all we have time for today. If you want to get hold of Alessandro, you can on Twitter at
Caption Barbosa.
Yeah. And if you want to get hold of me, it's on every social media platform you can think of at Dave Greenway, because David was taken. Even Snapchat, it is there too. So if you've liked this, let us know. We might come back and do another one for you. If there's anything we've missed, any topics or anything you'd like us to chat about,
any
questions, hit us up on Twitter or at Cliff Central, let us know. This has been the streaming episode of Talking Tech, and we hope you enjoyed it.
This is CliffCentral.com.